Hi, I'm Bran, and I love Hallmark Christmas movies.
Hey, it's Panda, and I like Hallmark Christmas movies.
It's Dan, and I despise Hallmark Christmas movies, and this is the
Deck the Hallmark Podcast.
Hello, everybody.
Your ear things are a little bit high up.
How's that?
Yeah, and it made you look like, one, you had bangs, and two, a weird like hat.
How did
thing.
I look with bangs? I've been thinking about
great.
It.
Great. No. You should do it.
This is what I want to tell people.
You should do it.
I have been toying around.
Straightening it out?
No. With the idea of 2022 going blonde.
I think you should.
I thought you said you were going to go silver or gray or something, didn't you?
Let's go silver or gray, actually.
That I would, like the you blood. Would look like Santa Claus.
Let's go silver or gray.
Popo Gijo.
What do we think?
I love it.
What do we think? Should I do it?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
But what
for
do
sure.
I do? How do you do that?
Like, you go to a hairstylist?
I'm going to keep. So what do I do? Should I not cut a haircut until then? What's the best way to do it?
I think you go to your stylist and you ask.
But whatever
them.
You like, the shorter it is, the less time you'd have with it, right? I don't know how that, because.
I think you want it long. You want it to be a long boy and then to silver it up.
Silver it up, because it can only get so long, right?
Yeah.
You want it longer.
But if I do it short, then
you don't have as much time. Right out. Yep. And then it's just not looking as good.
We'll do it live.
So let me know what you think, guys.
I will.
Hey, you guys remember last week? We were talking about how much we love Yeah That Greenville, and then how the Bassmaster Classic is coming to Greenville.
Big Rig Bassy. What do we call the big man, big woman?
Big Master, Big Wig Bassmaster.
Bassmaster Big Wig. The Bassmaster Big Wig heard the episode.
Really?
And sent us some gear.
Are you serious?
Some Bassmaster.
I've not seen this. Have you seen
I got a Bassmaster hat for
Trucker.
Each of us.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, different ones for. No, they're all the same. Oh, no, they're different.
They're a little bit different.
You want white or a gray? I don't care.
Oh, man, that looks.
And then we each get a cup, which is the Bassmaster High School Combine Cups. I know we've all been waiting for those.
Ooh, the Combine
and,
Cups are in this
what
year.
Else?
Unbelievable.
Some Frisbees.
Yep.
Some Cody Frizz.
Cody Frizz, baby.
And
yeah.
Some of these and stickers and stuff. So shout out to the Bassmaster.
Hey, thanks, Bassmaster. I mean,
come on, Bassmaster.
And they informed me that they liked where our heads were at.
Are you serious?
When it comes to the Bassmaster, and that they want to do something. Now, they were thinking about getting us out on a boat.
I'm just stop toying with me right now.
And being trained by a Bassmaster.
Oh my gosh.
I am here for that.
So, I'll be honest, I'd pay a lot of money to watch Panda try to fish, like learn how to professionally fish.
I can crush it.
So, man. I mean, these are the perks of living in, that Greenville is the Bassmaster comes to,
Lake Hartwell.
Hartwell.
Near Clemson out
it's
there.
It's happening in March. And then they come to the well downtown. And they announce it.
Greenville really does have a little bit of everything.
They do have a little bit of everything.
I can't believe this is happening, though. I actually thought after you said somebody that's a big wig over there listens to us, I thought you were joking still.
I'm not joking. Do you think I'm...
No, now I don't.
How committed to the bid am I? Did I win and got these hats?
You got all this stuff, and you said we could be on a boat for the Bassmaster.
That is not confirmed. We were just brainstorming. But I'd like to see it happen.
Did you confirm it, Panda?
Oh, I am on that boat, and I am already learning how to fish.
Sources are telling me, yes, they have signed the paperwork. So we're going to be on a boat.
Did you hear that, Bassmaster Bigwig? Now we've put it out into the universe, and now if it doesn't happen, it's all your fault.
Yeah, of course.
That's kind of how that works. That Greenville shout out.
Do you catch bass the way you catch other fish?
Yeah, well, bass are typically near the banks. So like in a river, they're near the banks, typically under like any sort of tree that would go into water. You'd probably find a bass underneath there. They can be sometimes bass that are female bass with eggs. They can be sedentary, very still for long periods of time. Tougher to catch. You have to have a moving lure to catch a bass. Whereas a brim, you can just string like a cricket or a
so
worm.
So they're like
down
the
there.
Cats of a bass.
Yeah, that's not bad.
They chase
not the
after.
Cats of bass. The cats of fish.
Yeah.
Bass also cats apparently, of bass is one of the worst sentences of all
well,
time.
Well, I actually saw Cats of Bass live.
Dude, Cats of Bass is great. It is a cat-dressed Ace of Base cover band.
Yeah.
And
and the weird thing is the first set is them dressed as cats covering Ace of Base. They take an intermission, they come back, and they're dressed up like Ace of Base covering the musical Cats. Yeah. It is. Yeah. It's quite the evening.
It's unbelievable.
Quite the evening.
It's everything you could want in an evening. It really is.
Speaking of quite an evening, Universal Yums will give you quite the evening. When you get those boxes... I didn't mean to make it weird, but unboxing those suckers is always fun. We'll be doing another unboxing here shortly. They're sending us new boxes. I think it's
for the holiday box. Holiday box.
Yeah, so
you get up to $30 off if you order the subscription
with the code Hallmark over at Universal Yum. So there you go, guys. We're talking one December night, the Hallmark Movies and Mysteries movie from the weekend,
dude,
with the big hitters:
Bruce Campbell, Peter Gallagher. Come on.
So disappointed Mumford. That he didn't smash anything with a big hammer.
Yeah, once again, different Gallagher.
Different Gallagher.
Yeah, different Gallagher.
Okay.
No bit, watermelon bit smashed.
Bit still works, though.
Yeah.
Dan, here's what I'm going to need you to do.
You want Rig to do the synopsis? Thank God. He's been waiting. He's in the bullpen.
Not this one.
Okay.
Fair enough.
I know how to pronounce Alzheimer's. I don't know about you. It's your shot. There's a Z in there. That letter counts, you know. You must have skipped it in Titusville High.
Why'd you go with all that word, though?
That's why you didn't want me to do it. You thought it was too serious, right?
Yes.
Be honest.
Yes.
You know what? I can do the serious ones. I've done several serious ones.
Like what?
My pants.
Dang it. How did I not see that?
I don't even know what that means, first of all. During my synopsis, Dan, or Rig, or Trace, whoever, your camera three over here, is currently set up for you because of the other,
what's the
other
problem?
Shows. You need to move it over to the pole.
To the pole.
And then swivel it to get Panda in the shot.
Can I just swivel?
You moved, no. Physically move the camera to the pole.
Okay, got it.
And then swivel.
Got it.
Alzheimer's. One December night. Is that the name of the movie?
Like Mannheim Steamroller, but with a Z.
What? One December night. Originally aired on November 13th, 2021, and it went a little something like this. The movie kicks off with 10 years ago, with a montage of Bedford and Sullivan, a dynamic duo, singing crew, that is writing hit after hit. Their song, One December Night, skyrockets to number one, and then they end up breaking up. Flash forward 10 years, and we meet Quinn, who works at a record label or something like that, and she's just trying hard to make it work for people who make good music, such as this girl, Addison. Addison's just crushing it over there on the acoustic guitar, but can't take her career off. I don't know. Her boss asked her to walk one day, and that's, you know, things are about to get serious. And she says, hey, I need you to help reunite Bedford and Sullivan, because apparently they are supposed to play a TV special, but it's proven to be more difficult than we thought. So you might be asking, why is she asking Quinn to do this, who can't even get Addison into a coffee shop? Well, because she is Mike Sullivan's daughter, despite trying to keep that info under wraps. Quinn agrees to help, but only if Addison gets the opening gig. She's playing hardball here. Quinn heads to her hometown, but is staying at a hotel. Why? Dad lives there. What is going on there? She runs into her childhood friend, Jason, who is Steve Bedford's son. That just reminded me of Benford Tools. Proud to present. Tim Toyota. He manages... his dad, and he's like, there's no way that you're going to be able to make this happen. They're both just too stubborn, blah, blah, blah. So she shows up to her dad's house, and it is clear that she doesn't really have much of a relationship with him, and he seems just like he's not really interested in doing anything. He's stuck in his ways, blah, blah, blah. Despite her best attempt, he says there's a no-go. I'm not showing up for that photo shoot. So Jason shows up. Apparently, they were close. And he ends up talking into it, no problem. So they do the photo shoot, they take some jabs, they get into a giant candy cane fight, they take out an inflatable, it's all going well. Sullivan tells Quinn that the reason he's doing this is because he's broken, he doesn't want to lose his house, Big Red. After they have some fun singing with some carolers, Bedford and Sullivan go inside to work on some music, and Quinn and Jason get closer and closer during a lovely Christmas montage full of decorating, practice, crossing dates off calendars. It's got it all! They bond over the fact that it was hard having super popular dads growing up. Steve Bedford starts to do odd things, such as signing both sides of records, missing radio station call letters, etc. But they just kind of shrug it off to him being tired and old. The guys have a huge argument after they're talking about the set list because Sullivan doesn't want to play One December Night. Bedford does. It's their biggest hit. They're all like, I'm pretty sure the network won't be okay with us not playing our most popular song. Spoiler alert, the network is not okay with that. Bedford is like, I'll just do it myself. And Quinn is like, there's no way he's going to be okay with that. So he's like, well, what if I record a version of myself playing? And then when it gets to that part of the show, just play the video. Quinn is like, once again, horrible idea. Let me just go talk to my dad. She talks to him and, not before cookies. But they talk about how he feels that the music isn't really his anymore. Legally, not, by the way. And that One December Night is a sacred song. It's about his wife and Quinn, and he wants to hold on to it. Doesn't want it to just become another one of those things. So he apologizes for being a bad dad. She hugs him, big ones. Ultimately, he comes around to the idea of playing the song after a coin flip. It's a classic thing. Quinn and Jason kiss real big ones. Boy, howdy. But that doesn't last long because Bedford decides that to record the video of him playing the song anyways, just in case. And Jared is like, hey, dummy, we told you not to do that. And he's like, I had to do this. This is my last show. And he opens up about how he has Alzheimer's. And Jared is in shock.
Nailed it.
Thank you, Rick. But after Jared, but before Jared can tell Quinn what just happened and the news about his dad, everybody finds out about the video, and Sullivan is real mad, storms out. Classic Bedford being selfish. Quinn tells Addison, the girl that was opening, that she's probably not going to get to sing anymore. And Addison is like, "You got this. I'm going to keep eating my pie because that's how confident I am in you." And Quinn is like, "I do got this," and she does. She basically tells her dad, hey, I need you to do this for me. And he's like, all right, sure. Big softy. Sullivan finds Bedford outside looking for his jacket. Can't find it. Very confused about where he put his jacket. And then he's like, now's a good time for me to tell you that I have Alzheimer's. And Sullivan is like, let's put on one more good show together. Let's crush it together. It's the night of the concert, and Addison crushes it. And honestly, so do Sullivan and Bedford. I was surprised, but they crushed it. They sing One December Night as Quinn and Jackson, is that his name? Look on and snuggle. And Jackson says he got her dad's rights to the songs back. And that's apparently was a big deal. They go to a party after the event, and they kiss a couple times while their dads look on pretty proud. And that, my friends, was One December Night.
We did it.
We did do it.
Yeah.
Hey, let's take a quick break.
Let's do it.
We'll come back and we'll break this movie down. Four segments, starting with a hot take.
I love it.
I love it so much. Right.
Mail time.
Oh, who do we have today? Oh, good news, everybody. I have been dreaming for a while.
Of a white Christmas?
Yes, and of winning a best gift ever award. I want to be that guy that people say, Bran, oh, he's the best gift giver.
Yeah, and it's so easy to just get like an easy gift that everyone gives.
Right.
It's a lot harder to find something that you just can't find everywhere.
The last few years, I've given everybody just sausage patties.
That's right.
Yeah.
You cook them up, hand them out fresh.
Yes.
And you know, the first year you did it, I loved it.
But, yes.
You know, by now it's getting kind of stale.
But I'm happy that's because I'm using the same ones. But that's why I'm happy I found Uncommon Goods, because Uncommon Goods has just the right gifts for everybody. We're talking your mom, your dad, your kids, your in-laws, whoever. They have super unique, creative, often handmade by independent artists. Those are the type of gifts that you can find on Uncommon Goods. They've got some amazing gift guides. Last year, I did most of my Christmas shopping for my extended family with Uncommon Goods.
Yeah.
And they knocked it out of the park. Everybody who got their gift was like, this is super fun. Because it's really hard every year after year to think of a gift to give to your dad. But Uncommon Goods, they have a section for dads. Easy and they peasy. Put together a really cool list and they make it really easy. And fun fact, Uncommon Goods gives back $1 to a nonprofit partner of your choice with every purchase.
Unbelievable.
Amazing. And here's the good news, everybody. You're going to get 15% off your next gift by going to uncommongoods.com/deck. That is uncommongoods.com/deck for 15% off. It's a limited time offer, so go ahead, uncommongoods.com/deck. Make it happen. Mm. And you know who else is making it happen all holiday season long?
Philo.
They're giving our listeners 25% off the entire holiday season for 2 months. Unlimited DVR that's going to last you an entire year, and you're going to have all the stations you need to watch your Christmas movies.
Your holiday movie hub.
That's exactly right. Go to philo.tv/DTH for 25% off. That's philo.tv/DTH for 25% off. Welcome back, everybody. Hey. We are talking... One December night.
Mm. Let's go.
Heavy hitters. Let's start with a hot take. I'm going to start with my good friend Panda because Panda, GQ.
Yeah.
GQ just called. It is a baby magazine.
Yep.
It's like GQ, but for babies.
Yep.
GQ.
Yeah.
And they voted you as top 75 hot takers.
Wow.
Yep. For 2021.
For GQ. Yeah.
That's a tough list to crack.
Just for children. Yeah.
So
seems like infants really.
Yeah. Let's show off those chops, pal.
Yeah.
Share with everybody what you think of One December Night.
One December Night is a joy to watch. A pleasure in every single sense of the word. I have it as my number one.
Lots of sads in this movie.
Has the sads, but I'm telling you what, it got me in all the feels. I loved it. I was locked in the entire time. Absolutely love this movie. I love the premise of the movie. I love the performances in the movie. I love the two leads in this movie, Eloise Mumford and
Brent Daughtry.
Yeah, I love them.
Brent or Brett?
Brett Daughtry.
Brett Daughtry.
Yes.
Yeah. Loved it.
Brett Debbie.
And I absolutely I adored the premise of this movie. I thought Bruce Campbell and Peter Gallagher did a phenomenal job in this
movie as well. No hammers.
It was disappointing. Yeah. But man, I tell you what, this was a unique plot too for a Hallmark movie. And they executed it really well. I thought they weren't too heavy-handed on the sad, even though it is sad.
Yeah.
They didn't overkill it. I didn't feel like it was melodramatic. I thought they handled it incredibly well. This is my number one for the year so far. It beats Miss Miracle. Miss Miracle slides to the two spot.
Wow.
This is number one.
Brett Dalton.
Dalton. We didn't have a clue.
Brett Dalton.
Yeah.
It's going to be a big old love fest so far. Also my number one. Guys, yeah, this is it. This is why we do this show.
Is it?
I don't know. It depends on who you ask. But this is why I do it. I watch the movies, and I hope that they're all like this. I want to feel good. Sometimes I want a little tear. And you know what? I also want really dang good performances. And that's what we got in this movie. Everybody came and knocked it out of the park. There's another. Oh, another home run.
It was the home run derby of Hallmark, man.
Yeah.
They crushed it. Everybody came to play. It was fantastic. And bonus points, all of the songs were dope. Addison, great singer. The songs by the band at the end, really good.
Yeah. Yep.
We get things sometimes. We get our hopes up.
Yeah.
And sometimes they're dashed a little bit. Not today. Mm-mm. No dash here. Dasher's over there with Santa training for Christmas Eve.
Nicely done.
Thank you. Nicely I love done. This movie. This is the one, baby.
Yeah, so you when you get Bruce Campbell and Peter Gallagher to play longtime friends, business partners, bandmates, like there is a certain level of quality the movie will not dip under. I thought Brett Dalton and Eloise Mumford were also really, really good as
really
well.
Good.
The performances are great. The music is great, but it all doesn't quite click in for me. It feels like
I need to take it.
Wait, just calm down.
I'm going to walk over here.
I'm not saying it's bad.
I'm gonna walk over here and just listen from there. Because I can't hit you from over here.
I mean, good gosh, man. It is a movie that has a lot of good performances, but I just feel like a couple of things kind of didn't work as well for me. I almost felt like Campbell and Gallagher should switch roles. Like, I feel like Gallagher would have been the better version of that, and Campbell would have been the better version of the recluse guy. But I also just felt like it just tried to do more than it needed to do. Like, the love story felt a little bit of attack on. The Alzheimer's felt a little bit of attack on. It just felt like a little bit too much. Having said that, the performances and the music are enough, like, to have it. I think I've got it 3 or 4 right now. It's around there. The only movies that are better to me, in my opinion, that I would recommend higher are Crashing Through the Snow and Mrs. Miracle. I think that's it. I think this and Christmas Sale were duking it out there. It's definitely better than what they usually give us. And that's because of the music and the performances, which are both, you know, as soon as I heard Bruce Campbell and Peter Gallagher were going to be in a movie, maybe my expectations were too high, but their performances are great. It doesn't matter what script you give them. They're going to knock it out of the park. They did a really good job. There's plenty to really enjoy in this movie. It just didn't all coalesce. It never coalesced into something bigger for me like Mrs. Miracle did. This movie has a lot of really fun scenes and parts in it, but it all felt a little bit empty. Even at the end, it didn't all really come together.
You know what else feels a little empty? You.
Yeah. Well, I'm just being honest. I don't know what you want.
I don't want your honesty. I want you to share what we think is correct.
Okay.
You're wrong.
I mean, I'm not sitting here telling you it's a bad movie.
I just felt like this was the one. If there was a one that would get you out of your seat, I thought this was going to be the one.
No, it never really all clicked for me like that. I felt like it was good. I mean, like, I felt like it was a movie that was, for Hallmark, was a solid entry with good performances. I'm not saying it's bad by any stretch.
I'm just surprised
that for you it didn't all click. Like, to me, it all clicked.
Yeah.
Like, I mean,
it felt very disjointed to me. And also, there's a movie called A Mighty Wind, which I highly recommend you see. It is a wonderful version of kind of this. I don't know. Like, the Alzheimer's bit felt like it was just a little bit too much for me. In what we needed to do here, like it just felt unnecessary to add that component to everything else we had going on.
Alzheimer's wasn't convenient for you, Dan.
Alzheimer's is an important thing to talk about. I mean, our friends Nikki DeLoach, Ashley Williams walked in Alzheimer's. Super important. Go give to their charity. We give to their charity. Please do it. I'm just saying the movie already had this. We're trying to shoehorn a love story in. And then we have Gallagher and Campbell who are amazing. Let's let them do their thing. Let's let them get together. It just felt like there wasn't enough time to really appropriately handle everything they were trying to do.
You see, I disagree. I feel like you had Eloise Mumford and Daughtry.
Dalton,
whatever. They're like,
I'm coming home.
I would have loved that. That would have pushed it over the edge. I feel like it was a very natural overflow for their relationship. I mean, they grew up together.
Yeah.
Their dads are best friends. Yeah. And then, so I didn't feel like they tacked that on.
Oh,
The mid-movie kiss was great. The movie just, to me, never felt like it fully realized any one portion of what they were doing.
Man, I just, wow.
But the things that they did, I thought they did well.
Man. Okay. That's fun.
I wish there was a mute button.
I didn't say it sucked, guys.
I know.
I want to be very, very clear.
I understand, and it feels your review didn't come together for me, and here's
why.
It was a tepid response to something that demands big ups.
It demands big ups. The movie does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's go to all the feels. Part of the show we talk about what gave us those feels. Panda, I imagine. Buckets of feels for you.
Buckets of feels. I not to get overly sentimental here. My grandmother passed away with Alzheimer's. Mm-hmm. And so That plot point resonates with me. It hits hard. I was there for her early stages of when she first was diagnosed with it. And then, so obviously I resonated with that plot line and that storyline. I thought they handled it very tactfully, very beautifully. So that entire plot point gave me feels. And honestly, the performance at the very end just gave me feels. The singing, the music, the camaraderie there, the fact that this town, really, as much as it was about these guys, it was about the town that had supported them as well. And them all coming together.
All 20 of them. All 20 of them moved to town to save Big Red.
Big Red. I'm happy for
I gotta
it.
Tell you though,
those tickets were expensive.
They were expensive. I gotta tell you though,
thousands of dollars.
You know how TV performance tickets are usually
priced.
The first song, Come Home or whatever,
great.
It's better than their
big. It's better than One December.
It's better than One December.
I think we can unequivocally say that that song
One December
is a
banger. Night. What if I'm gonna put on my music review hat? One December Night meanders until they hit the line One December Night, and then it. But I don't think that pays is the its ultimate payoff. Like that, come home, whatever, man.
Oh, that was great.
That was a banger.
I thought that was One December Night.
I did too.
It's odd that they don't say One December Night, but that's okay because the song's a banger.
When they start, they say let's start things off with a classic, and I'm like, you're gonna start off with the song that you wouldn't play for, no one's heard you play for 10 years, because I thought it was going to be One December Night.
Yes, exactly.
But it was a different song, and I was like, this is great. And then One December Night was good.
I liked it fine.
But it wasn't as good as that first one there.
Yeah.
Yeah, the first one was real nice.
Yeah. Guys, you know me by now. What's one thing that will almost always win me over? What's a little thing that's always going to give me feels? Some sort of a touch.
Oh, the hand, the little hand reaching across.
I gotta love a good hand touch. And there's a couple of, thank you. Happens a couple times, guys. A couple hands. He grabs her hand to take her inside kind of early on when the dads are, after the caroling, they go inside to play music, or he takes her to the bench, kind of grabs her hand, and she looks down and looks up, and they just kind of have this, just for a second. Just a quick glance, like, all right, I don't hate this. And then they do it again later on in the movie, and that kiss. They worked for me real good. They worked for me real good. Mm. So all of that gave me feels. But just the subtle things.
The subtlety of what they were doing is what worked for you.
That's right.
Any time that Peter Gallagher and Bruce Campbell get to share the screen together, I think is where the movie really does its best work. Not that Dalton and Mumford are bad by any stretch, but it seems like the main romance of this movie is this bromance of these two guys, and rightfully so. The relationship, even though the script sometimes is a little blocky, like it feels very lived in. Like it feels like a relationship that they've known each other for years and years. There's a couple of scenes where they sit down at the piano together that I really, really like. So anything with those two in them together, I think they make the most of. In all honesty, the script didn't stand out as good or bad to me, but I feel like in lesser hands, you don't get what you get, you know, from this movie. I think these two guys really, I don't know how they got them both to be in the movie, but when they're on screen together, it typically works really, really well.
And I will say, him talking to his daughter about him being a bad dad and turning to drinking. And then her just going.
And I could be wrong here. I could be. This movie was TV PG. It was. I'm not wrong on that. It was TV PG. I think it's the first one I've ever seen.
See, I was about to say this.
Hallmark has ever done that was TV PG. I don't know. I'm sure Hallmark's done things that are TV PG, but typically their Christmas movies are all TVG. And this movie deals with alcoholism, Alzheimer's, parents that weren't parents. Like, it is a very, it's kind of a melancholy, sad kind of movie. It doesn't have a lot of like big Christmas highs in it. It's not like Christmas feels in this movie. Like it's a movie. Like it's trying to do something else entirely.
Though this movie did look cold.
It looked cold.
Yeah. It looked cold.
It doesn't fit the Hallmark feels. Any sort of Hallmark Christmas movie template at all. And it's TV PG, which was shocking to me.
And like my mom and dad weren't anywhere near. Don't tell them. But I watched this by myself.
Wow. Unbelievable. Oh. With parental
my parents weren't even guiding me.
You were living fast and loose over there, man.
You bet I was. But
yeah.
I actually called my parents as soon as I saw it, and I said, can I see it?
Is there anything I can do? And it is suggested, not required.
That's true.
Yeah.
And so you could possibly get away with that. That's probably the safe bet.
I didn't even ask him.
Yeah, no, you're
and
a
I
rebel.
Guys, and I want to bring this to you. You guys got to hold me accountable on this. Next time I turn on homework and it's TVPG, just say, like, text me and be like, hey, I checked in with your mom.
I'm glad. I snuck Gladiator when I was 13.
Man,
that's not TVPG.
No, it sure wasn't. No. I was a rebel.
You say you snuck Gladiator. What does that sentence mean?
My friend,
some black market gladiator.
I snuck Gladiator.
My friend Cam. We were having a sleepover, and he said, "Hey, bud, do you want to watch Gladiator?" And I said, "I don't know, what's it rated?" He says, "Rated R." And I said, "Let's do it."
Mm. Man, yeah, but at that point, that movie was like 7 or 8 years old, right? Were you blown away?
I was blown
away. Oh, yeah. It was like best movie you've ever seen.
And then I immediately told my parents what I did.
Of course.
And then my dad was like, well, I want to see it. So then we ended up all watching it.
So it worked out well.
It worked out really well.
Worked out great. Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back, and we'll talk about the way, what's, and what the homework's here on Doug Domer. Hey, guys.
Hey, buddy.
We're back.
Aww.
That was fun.
It was great.
It was good. Mm. It's good to catch your breath sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Sure is.
Just go outside.
Take a quick breather.
Walk around a little bit. Quick lap around, huh?
Yeah. That'll do it.
That'll do it. You know what else will do it? The wait what section. Mm-hmm. It'll fill your heart with joy. As far as joy, we talk about one of this movie made us go wait what? I'm going to start with my good friend Panda. Panda, what you waiting and what you wanting?
I have a confession to make on this. I started off super critical of this movie. And then... once we really started rolling on this movie,
the first 20 minutes aren't good.
Yeah, the first 20 minutes, I had the vast majority of my weight what's, and then all of a sudden it just plummets.
But that's part of what I'm talking about. The first 20 minutes of this movie aren't, it's not good.
It wasn't bad. It's just there's
but once we get rolling with Bruce and Peter Gallagher, like that is, you know, there's good stuff there. But to attribute that to the entire film, I just don't think it's fair.
Well, a couple quotes that just got to me.
You're so frustrating.
First of all, she says at one point, that's why they don't write songs on calculators, right? I get what the sentiment behind it.
There's an art to it. It's not empirical. There's an art to it.
But you couldn't write a song on a calculator anyway because there's numbers on it, Dan.
I know. Numbers are empirical. Words aren't. That's the point.
But you couldn't anyway because you couldn't spell anything with numbers.
That's exactly right. Yeah, that is exactly right. What you're saying is right. Your wait what is wrong.
Nope, I stand by what I said.
Okay.
And then second of all, she mentions that...
it's one of the worst wait what's in the history of wait what's. That's bad.
Addison...
This guy asked for a beer. Am I right? This when I'm sick of a beer? You believe that guy?
Have you tried to spell anything on a... You can't spell things. You can't.
Have you flipped it upside down?
Have you flipped it upside down? Have you met any middle schoolers?
Yeah.
You kidding me right now? Yeah, that's good stuff, baby.
That's good stuff. The Addison, they mentioned about her that she's the best singer-songwriter since Joni Mitchell. And I just want to point out that the first song we hear her do is a cover song.
Yeah.
I don't understand. If she, why?
She's the best singer-songwriter. You know, I don't know.
She's busking at Christmas.
Yeah.
She's
going to sing Christmas carols.
What do you want her to do? She's playing for tips.
She's not going to sing originals.
She's playing for tips.
Sing original.
All right, another strikeout. Let's do another one. What do we got, pal?
The last one I have is...
I saw a tumbleweed blow by over there.
I stand by everything I've said, and it's not my fault. You guys are
wrong. Calculators don't have words.
You can't do it. And I'm just pointing it out. You can't do it.
That's why they said the line.
Well, yeah.
It's a real who's on first situation.
can't do it. Duh. They say this line, she took a larger advance, so if she doesn't get booked, she's in a pretty deep hole. To which her friend responds, how deep? And she responds, we haven't found the bottom yet. But here's my question.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense. That didn't make
if
any
you
sense.
Have taken a pretty large advance, what isn't that just the number of the hole? Like, that's the bottom. That's the bottom. Like,
unless she has other financial woes that we don't know about? It's implied that it's the advance.
It's the advance. We haven't found the bomb yet. Well, yes, you have. I would just like to point out, yes, you have found it. That's all I got.
That's good stuff, buddy.
You can't write one. I tried after it. Challenge accepted. I got 8-3-2.
Best.
Can't do it.
I just want to say there's no world where I can get booked in a coffee shop, but yeah. Addison can't.
No,
there's just
kidding.
No world. That girl was too good. She yes. was too good.
Yeah, she's a real singer.
Yeah, she yeah. was phenomenal. What's her name? Can I find her somewhere? Can I listen to her?
Jasmine Forsberg?
Because she was so...
I don't know.
Yeah. She was so good.
Rosie O'Snipes?
I don't think it's Rosie O'Snipes. I don't think it's Rosie O'Snipes. I do love that name. She was so good.
Yeah, it was Jasmine Forsberg. I was right.
What?
Jasmine Forsberg was correct. You guys are looking at me like I'm dumb. I looked it up. She's got a website. You can listen to her music.
Well, then who's Rosie O'Snipes?
When you guys made me think I was wrong, I made up Rosie O'Snipes.
You, in our defense,
yeah.
you said Jasmine.
I said Jasmine Forsberg? Like I wasn't
you
sure.
You said it on, like you weren't sure. It sounded like you were making it up like Rosie O'Snipes.
Yeah, Rosie O'Snipes is a great singer.
Oh, she's so good.
Yeah, she's great.
I got a clap. Ding, ding, down, ding, 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 down.
Have you seen it? Have you heard it? Can you feel it? It's the wind. You can do some of those things. You can do some of those things. Can't do all of those things. You can do some of those things.
Name five things.
You can feel the wind. It'll blow the cup over if the cup's real light or the wind's real strong, one or the other. It's a hurricane wind.
It's unfortunate we didn't get to hear the rest of that list. I was really dead.
Pins and Needles.
Yeah, there's so much there that's
Rosie O'Snipes should go on tour with, who is it?
The Cats of Bass.
Yeah, no. The one from a couple weeks ago that counts to nine.
Oh, Henrik on the Nines.
Yeah, Henrik on the Nines.
That's not a musician.
He's a
radio. He has
an
NPR show yep. called Henrik on the Nines. How do you not understand
it? Henrik on the Nines!
Hey, everybody. It's Henrik on the Nines. This is where we talk about nine things. Sometimes they're big. Sometimes they're small. Sometimes they're just made up. You know what I'm saying? Henrik on the Nines.
Types of chowder.
Chowder's so good, makes me want to go start a fire, chop some wood. What kind of chowders are there for you? Let me count one, two, three for you.
One.
Clam chowder.
Two.
Lobster.
We had to cut it off. We were going to cut it
off. Henrik fired his production team, I believe, after that. Is what happened. Jasmine Forsberg is her name.
Phenomenal.
And she's a great singer. Are we good?
Yeah.
What else you got?
I don't know. I have recorded radio commercials in the past.
I've recorded some too.
Brandon and the Books aren't going to record themselves.
That's right.
And come on down to the forest. That whole
oh,
thing.
I got it. Yeah.
I know that when the radio commercials happened, they were past the point of, they were reconciled at that point. What was the point, aside from, you know, maybe the guy wasn't available that day
to mention
what was the reason they gave?
Sometimes he doesn't show up for things even when they're reconciled. Like, that's his shtick.
So he just said, so
sometimes he doesn't.
So they always have him, they have an audio at some point in time in history.
It's one of the
worst.
They
said, hey, pal, can you just record your name? And then if you ever don't show up to radio spots, we can just spike that sucker in there.
It sounds terrible. It sounds real bad.
Hey, I'm Bran.
That's what it sounded like. It was just, he sounded like he was in a completely different room. Like it didn't flow at all. Didn't match.
I just was confused because they were together. Like,
yeah.
And they didn't really mention it. They didn't make any. Yeah. Just like, oh.
I guess that's also like, for this guy, and this is kind of a wait what, but it speaks to this point. And they don't really do a good job of this. Peter Gallagher is an amazing actor, and he pulls this off, even though the character they've written for him is like an alcoholic recluse who doesn't ever talk to anybody. But in the movie, he's not really that. He's just kind of aloof.
It's not TV PG-13.
He's kind of aloof, though, right? Like, he's kind of like, just more like, if I want to do it, I'll do it. If I don't want to do it, I don't want to do it. And like, I don't like Bruce Campbell because he just is doing a shtick all the time. And I love him as a person, but I don't buy into all that stuff. I'm more of an artist. And then and then part of it is my routine that keeps me from doing alcohol, which is important. But they never really talk about those things. And so it can be whatever they want it to be.
I will say, though, I think that Sullivan was more of the artist. Like, he just wants the songs to
That's
be his thing.
Sullivan is Peter Gallagher.
I'm sorry. I thought you had moved on past
him. No, he is saying that who's the other guy? Not Gilbert and Sullivan.
Bedford.
Bedford and Sullivan. He's saying Bedford is just a shtick that he's doing.
Yeah.
And I just don't want to do the shtick.
Yeah.
But he also is trying to play this card of like, to keep myself sober, I have to do this routine. And then lastly, it's like nobody ever stops by here. Nobody ever comes to see me. I just keep the door shut. If people knock, I don't answer unless it's the secret knock. And that's not really terribly true. He seems like he's pretty well versed, like, and pretty well still like connected. And so it doesn't ever really jive. Like, you know, I
quit trying to bring us over to your side because it's not going to happen.
I'm not trying to bring you over anywhere.
You have tried to bring us places before.
No.
You have. Well,
I mean, in driving, for sure. Yeah.
So don't lie.
Okay.
You have tried to bring us places before.
Fair. Take you places. That would be taking you.
You've taken us, you've brought us, and you're bringing us now. No, you're not. We're not allowing it. Dang it!
You did it.
Dan?
Is Peter Gallagher always about to make a sandwich? Because I believe there are three times in this movie where he either says explicitly, I'm about to make a sandwich, or would you like a sandwich? And is that just is it always sandwich time? And I'm not opposed to it being always sandwich time.
Sandwich o'clock, baby.
I'm here for sandwich o'clock. I get that, but I want to make sure that's not something that he's just throwing in there when he doesn't have anything else to say. Somebody comes over and he's just like, do you want a sandwich? Sandwich. How do I mend fences here? Sandwich. Sandwiches are good.
But that is the easiest way to mend
a fence.
How about
a ham sandwich with me? Oh, with me too.
Do you want to build a sandwich?
Put some lettuce and tomato on it.
Man. No, mayo was there. It was lettuce and mayo or something there. Could go well. Hoagies and grinders. You can have it hot or cold. No. Early in the movie, the manager of Eloise Mumford's character, the manager, she is very confusing to me because early she's like, Addison, whatever her name is, and she just like scoffs at the idea she'd ever be on the record label. And then later she's like, hey, not only can she be on tour, she can open for him.
She did not scoff that she could be on the label. She scoffed that she was playing music loudly in an office setting.
Yeah, but she's upset, and then she never, it feels like she never takes her seriously. Like, she doesn't ever, if that's the talent that she thinks she is later, she's not going to be upset that Addison's playing music that loud. Like,
that Quinn is playing
music. It's a music. That who is?
Quinn.
Yeah. Quinn's playing Addison's music.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
But she never speaks highly of Addison at all.
She does in the first 5 minutes of the movie.
No. But the first time she,
because she's playing music loud in an office setting.
But she's been trying to book her. Quinn makes it clear she's been trying to get Addison on this label and like, not on the label, she already represents her, but like to do something. And then this woman all of a sudden goes from, I'm annoyed by Addison to, I'm going to go ahead and let her do all the things.
She's not annoyed by Addison.
Okay.
She's annoyed that Quinn is playing music. Addison,
even though she doesn't say anything about that until she says that she can do all the things.
Yes.
That's fine.
Yes.
I don't know if that's particularly true because she walks in, she goes, who is this?
That's right. Yes.
Yeah, that was misleading.
Yeah. No, misleading. She doesn't have any sort of backing, and then all of a sudden she's like, truth be told, she's kind of amazing. Like, it doesn't make any, like, it doesn't.
I think what she's wanting to do here, she wants Quinn to succeed. Yes. She wants Quinn to be her own That's person right. and crush it.
Yes.
And so she's trying to get her to do the things.
Well, the thing is that's next that's interesting is she knows who Quinn's father is. And she says, go talk to your father. And Quinn tries to explain, you don't understand my father. Because Quinn doesn't know that she knows about the father. And her persuasive speech is, we all have fathers. That's her entire persuasive speech. Listen, we all have fathers. That's all I've got. Go do your thing now. That's all I've got. Move along. The only other one that I have is, it's very, very weird to me, the scene where they carol with the kids. Bruce Campbell's character, who does have early onset Alzheimer's, is up there with the kids. Peter Gallagher shows up and they're singing Up on the Rooftop.
Up on the housetop.
Yeah, housetop. And they're like, Gallagher, come over here. And he's like, no, I don't know the words. I don't know the words to Up on the Housetop. I don't know them. And they're like, just come over here. And within like four lines of singing, he's done. Not only does he know the words, but he's arguing with the guy about the correct note of the words, which is quite a jump from I don't know the words to that song to now I'm going to argue with you about how the correct way to sing it is.
I think he knew the words. He just didn't want to participate.
Probably.
Because he's That's a curmudgeon. Probably
the case. My last one I'll say for what the homework.
It's time for what the homework. Sparsely, we wonder what could have been. Maybe I was declared. Which we stop. Panda,
is Addison going to get with the producer? Because they do a little cheers at the end, and it felt like a little flirty cheers.
They wanted us to.
That to happen because I love the producer. I know he was a goofball.
A goofball.
Yep, I stand by it.
He's just goober halfway through. Yeah, like
a goofball.
He was a goofball. Goop. We'll move on. I liked it. I like the pairing. I say, let's make it happen.
I need to know more about Lorraine. Mainly, what's up with Lorraine? Because Lorraine, to jog your memory, is the one who brings the carolers around, and she's always there.
Yeah.
And I think she's got her eye on either one of the two.
One of the two.
But I... What's up with Lorraine? What's her connection aside from just being in the town? Because she's clearly very close to
She knows
them.
Everybody.
She knows everybody.
Knows everybody.
What's Lorraine's deal?
That's a good one. Yeah, mine is the timeline because I feel like there's the majority of this movie is spent 3 days away from the concert. Like they do this montage where they put up like all the things they have to get done. Do you remember this?
And
they
start talking about montage.
And they keep putting off the set list because of one December night. But several times on either end of that, someone says, we only have 3 days or a few days before the concert. But it feels like this movie lasts for weeks. And it feels like it lasts a few weeks. But every time they talk about it like they're 3 days away from the event. And so I'd love a timeline of how long this took to actually put together. Because if you don't have a set list 2 days out, that is probably a problem.
What I would also say... This was quite the decision to book this show in general.
That's right.
Without
knowing being any totally of these certainties.
Yes.
It seemed like ill-advised by the network. And then for them just
but
to
kind of... But that's the network for you. They're always doing stuff like that.
To them just kind of go, oh yeah, we've got something we'll just rerun instead. Yeah. We've been spending all this advertising money on this, but you know, if you can't do it, we'll just throw a rerun up there. Nobody will be mad about that. Can you imagine if like Billy Joel and Elton John did another Piano Man One Night Only and it's like Piano Man Christmas Edition and then instead it's like, you know, I don't know.
The equivalent
Cats
of this.
Bass the
hey, that is no one a would worthy be replacement.
No one
the equivalent of
that.
This
true.
Would be Simon and Garfunkel One Night Only on TV.
That's right.
And everyone's tuning in to see Simon and Garfunkel finally get back together, perform some hits in Central Park.
Yeah, and instead they show like, you know, Charlie Brown, Christmas.
Yeah. Well.
Not bad.
Not bad.
Not bad, but you're expecting.
Simon and Garfunkel to finally get back together.
I mean, come on.
Are they still fighting?
They're still fighting, man.
Yeah, still fighting, man.
Think they'll ever get over it?
No, not unless Simon stops smoking, or is it Garfunkel that smokes? Art's always over there. Yeah, Art's smoking. Art likes to smoke.
Yeah,
and Simon's, that's been the whole fight.
Simon's not having.
I'm pretty sure there's more to the fight.
There's more to that, but the smoking kills. In this case, Simon Garfunkel. Hate to see it.
You hate to see it.
We did it, everybody. Hey. Congratulations. You know who's never going to break up? The three of us. Guys, get that clip. Somebody get it. Brian, get that clip. We're never going to break up.
Never going to give you up.
That's exactly right. We'll be back tomorrow. One more Hallmark movie to get to. Holiday in Harlem.
Mm-hmm. Harlem.
We're going to head over to New York and see how things go. Until then, maybe we'll be the first to wish you a
Merry Christmas.
Deck the Hallmarks of Bramble Jam podcast. It's presented by Philo TV. It's produced by Brandon Gray and recorded live in, yeah, that Greenville, South Carolina. Set decor is by Plum at Haywood Mall. For more information on Deck the Hallmark, you can go to deckthehallmark.com. For more information on Bramble Jam Podcast Network, you can go to bramblejampodcast.com.
You're about to hear some ads that help keep the lights on here at the studio. Feel free to listen. Feel free to turn it off, whatever you want to. But either way, thanks so much for your support.